How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. This week's story comes with a language warning for those of you who may be listening in the presence of children or anyone offended by the F word in general conversation. There is a quiet kind of leadership that doesn't begin with ambition. It begins with empathy. Nicolas Marchese was born into a time of grief for his parents, following the loss of his older sibling. He speaks with profound gratitude about the way his mum and dad raised him, supportive, encouraging, yet grounded in reality. They didn't just give him opportunity, they gave him foundations. Nicolas has gone on to co-found Orange Sky Australia alongside his best mate, Lucas Patchett. In 2014, they built the first van, Sudsy, to provide free mobile laundry and shower services to people experiencing homelessness. But Orange Sky was never just about washing clothes or showers. It was about conversation, dignity. It was about community. Today, Orange Sky operates across Australia and New Zealand, supporting tens of thousands of people, or as Nicolas calls them, friends. He was named Young Australian of the Year in 2016, received the Order of Australia Medal in 2020, attended the Obama Foundation Leaders Program, and studied at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Yet, at the heart of it remains a simple belief. Connection changes everything. Nicolas, I've admired your community initiative for a number of years. You often speak so highly of your parents and the grounding they gave you. How did they build those fundamental foundations in you?
My parents sort of gave me so much opportunity to try things, and I think they had every opportunity to not let me try things through the journey that they'd been on. But one of my many times, there's maybe less than a handful of times that I got called to the principal's office. I think the first time was because I had come to school with a drill, and I was drilling into things at school and screwing bits of timber together. And my mum got called into the principal's office because they wanted to know why she bought me a drill, or if this story that I'd told them was true about buying me a drill. And I think that was a real example of my early years, was that I was curious about something and the people around me supported me in wanting to explore that a little bit further and try it. So growing up, I was really interested in making things and using my hands. I wasn't very good at sitting down or watching TV. I just enjoyed being outside, making things, pulling things apart. And that sort of brought me into growing up as a teenager, and went to a very privileged all-boys school, and our school had a food van that fed the homeless. And I can remember being, you know, quite a self-centered, privileged teenager, and my mum one morning telling me that I needed to put my school uniform on because we needed to leave to go volunteering on that school food van. And I can remember at that point in time just not wanting anything to do with that interaction or that experience. But for whatever reason, I got in the car. Maybe it's because mum said I had to. And I can remember that morning sort of changing my life, because I realized that morning that there were people out there in our own backyard that didn't have access to really simple things that I'd taken for granted my whole life. And so I guess, you know, numerous times in my life, my parents and the people around me have stretched me and put me in positions that have opened my eyes to things that have completely changed my life, or they've, you know, softly given me the tools or support or encouragement to give things a go.
How long do you think it took you for that to catalyze some action, given that you were storytelling for media?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes things can be very disconnected, and you can look at one interest or skill or hobby or career and then be like, well, I'm doing something completely different. But I think all these things are intrinsically linked. In high school, I really enjoyed the opportunity to go out and contribute to helping and serving other people in the community. And, you know, Lucas and I were lucky enough to become friends through being put in a leadership opportunity at our school. So, you know, we learned how to work together, and, you know, Lucas and I were paired up because I was at the bottom of the class and he was at the top of the class. And, you know, there was a lot of similar values, but also very different but complementary skills that we both had. So the notion of helping people or serving others, you know, that came from, you know, my family and school and upbringing and all the people around me. The idea of, I guess, specifically wanting to start something, you know, Lucas and I left high school and we went into different careers and hobbies and interests. And, you know, there was a time sort of in 2014 where Lucas and I caught up. Lucas just got back from a holiday overseas, and I was working in the media industry, and we sort of spoke about this idea to start something that went out there and help people in our backyard. And that's sort of where the idea of putting washing machines in a van was born.
That in itself is unique. You know, I haven't heard of someone making showers to be clean and laundering clothing as part of something that had been focused on even for homeless people. It was all about shelter and food. What do you think it was that was the catalyst of change for you and Lucas to come up with that concept in the first place?
Lucas and I, we had a passion to want to go out there and help people. And then we just literally spoke to people and asked them what they want. And, you know, time and time again, the idea of there being, you know, places to access food had come up, but the idea of hygiene was something that had been overlooked. And, you know, there were definitely places that people could wash their clothes at maybe a center or at a friend's house or something like that. But the idea of bringing laundry to people that were sleeping rough had been overlooked. And so that's sort of where the idea was born. And, you know, then iterations of that came about. Like, I think, you know, I spoke about my parents earlier. I was 19, came home from work one day and said, you know, Mum, Dad, Lucas and I are going to start a free mobile laundry. And my parents said, how about you start washing your own fucking clothes? So, you know, we had very little knowledge about washing and drying clothes, and we had, you know, very little knowledge about how to run a not-for-profit. But I guess we had this determination and excitement to give something a go. And I think that that's sort of been a key thematic of Orange Sky, is that we've had this idea because we've either heard it from someone or we've asked someone or we've dreamt it up, and then we've done something about it, and we've probably gotten a little bit better at, well, I hope we've gotten a little bit better at washing and drying clothes over the last 11 years. But the idea of really thinking about how do we show up for people and involve our impact is really important.
Oh, that just cracked me up. I lost it, because as a parent, I can identify with your parents with a teenager coming home and say, guess what we're going to do? And I'd be like, hang on. So I get that. That's so good. What a great story. Obviously, it's not that simple. You can't just go and start something. And I understand your first van was called Sudsy. How on earth did you approach this? You know, as an entrepreneur who was so young and probably had not a lot of idea about business, how did you and Lucas get through that first period?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. Like, one is, you know, Orange Sky now is this beautiful tree that's been around for 11 years. And there's so many different branches to that tree and leaves. It'd be the thousands of volunteers, the hundreds of vans and assets that go out each and every week. It's the millions of dollars worth of donors that contribute to funding the service. It's the amazing people that share our story and believe in it. But back in 2014, Lucas and I just had this little seed, which was around, could we get washing machines to work in the back of a van? And we never thought that it would grow into what it has today. And so we both had other jobs. I owned a van. We typed into Google commercial washing machines. A company came up. We popped them an email. We got put onto their sales team. We told the sales team we didn't have any money. we asked if we could have a meeting to tell them about this charity idea. We walked into their boardroom, you know, probably in shorts and thongs and running late, and we told them our little idea. And, you know, they thought we were absolutely crazy. You know, they said no one will ever wash and dry their clothes in a park, and you'll never get washing machines to work in a van. But for whatever reason, you know, they were a family-owned business, and they trusted these two idiots to potentially pull this off. And, you know, we then, you know, agreed to get two washing machines and two dryers. We went out a few weeks later, dropped the empty van off, and they were like, why are you leaving the van here? We're not having anything to do with building it. That's your problem. So we ended up having to do two trips back to my parents' garage because the washing machines and dryers wouldn't fit in one load. And then we spent a couple weekends, you know, fitting the first van out. And back then, our vision or our mission wasn't even really established, but it was just to get washing machines to work in a van. And it was simply a hardware challenge around how do we mechanically get this problem solved. And, you know, we built the first van, Sudsy. It had two washing machines and two dryers in it. It had this massive generator that was going to power it all up. We went down and we thought, what better place to test the van than alongside our first ever school food van? And so set the van up. It was like, well, we need water, and there's a tap in the park, but there's no way to turn the tap on. And then you go to Bunnings and you find a tool that's $12 that lets you open any council tap. So then we started stealing water from the council, fired this big generator up, and, you know, it was my job to find some washing. And I woke up this guy by the name of Jordan and said, you know, hey, I know this sounds really weird, but there's a washing machine's over there if you want to wash your clothes. And a couple minutes later, and for whatever reason, he trusted us to be the orange guy's first ever wash. And we put Jordan's washing in the washing machine, started it, and there was this massive bang. And we're like, fuck, don't know if washing machines are meant to make that sound. But we called up the technician that only a few weeks earlier said that this is something that was never going to work. And, you know, Dan said, you know, what's going on? We said the washing machine's made a bit of a noise, and it says CE on the screen. What does that mean? And he said, you know, that means you've broken both the washing machines. I told you this wouldn't work. And for whatever reason, Lucas and I begged and pleaded for some more washing machines. We apologized to Jordan. We went out the next day, dropped the broken washing machines off, picked up some new ones, went out to the park. Again, there was Jordan. And for whatever reason, Jordan was going to trust us with his only possessions in his life. And we put Jordan's washing in the machine, started the van up, and there was another massive bang. And what we realized that morning is that, you know, Orange Sky was something that had to work because we'd been added to a long list of people throughout Jordan's life who had let him down. And so we called up, you know, the big boss at the washing machine company, begged and pleaded for some more washing machines. For whatever reason, she said yes. You know, we made changes to how we were powering the van up and how we were securing the washing machines. Third day taking this, you know, frustrating van out. And again, there was Jordan, and we put Jordan's washing in Sudsy. We pressed the top button, we pressed the bottom button, and everything works perfectly. But what we realized that morning is that, you know, what do we do now? We've been so focused on getting this frustrating van to work that then when it did work, we hadn't actually considered what that looked like. And that's where then Orange Sky's mission was really formed and, you know, reimagined, is that the washing was just a catalyst to get to know someone and to provide a really basic human right of cleanliness and hygiene, but most importantly, just a safe space to chat while the washing was on. And that conversation with Jordan changed my life and the trajectory of both Lucas and I's life and Orange Sky forever.
So 12 years on, what are you most proud of, and how are these people propelling you forward?
Yeah, there's so much of Orange Sky to be proud of. I'm really proud of the F word at Orange Sky, which is friends, and the friends that, you know, trust us still with potentially their only possessions in their life. This week we'll do over 1,200 loads of laundry for people, and, you know, there's thousands of people now out there that potentially haven't had a shower for a couple of weeks and are incredibly vulnerable and isolated, who will get into one of our vans and have something that's deeply private and personal and important being a shower. Or we will wash clothes for people that have suddenly become homeless through a fire or a flood this week. Or we'll rock up and someone in a school will trust us to wash their own possessions so they can go to school that day. And so, yeah, I think there's so much to be proud of it at Orange Sky. But I think, you know, for people to trust us, whether that be the friends with an opportunity to sit down with them and connect, whether it be a volunteer to go out in the heat and, you know, volunteer and run the service, or for someone to say, we have a donor in Mount Isa in Queensland, and we've had a van in Mount Isa for a couple of years now, but for the majority of Orange Sky's existence, we haven't had a van in Mount Isa. And this donor has given us $1 a week from her pension for the majority of Orange Sky's existence. And, you know, those $52 each year are incredibly significant to me and Orange Sky, because there are people out there that say, hey, I want to contribute. And that's the sort of trust and belief that Orange Sky is founded on.
Homelessness is obviously a huge issue right across the country, and in my hometown as well, where Orange Sky actually operates in Queensland. The last figures I had was like 38 services. How significant is it to try and cover those areas of need, particularly in such a vast land like Australia?
It's hard, but it's also easy. It's hard in a sense of knowing the tremendous need that's out there. In Australia, 1 in 200 people are classified as homeless. And of that, you know, only 6% of that population are rough sleeping. And so the majority of people that are experiencing homelessness or hardship are working multiple jobs, living in their car with their family, living in overcrowded accommodation. So the need is significant. The size of this country is significant, and the, you know, the complexity in delivering a service like ours is significant. But what makes it easier is people trust Orange Sky to be able to help them. And whether that be, you know, in Serena, Orange Sky having a pod there that's got 3 washers and 3 dryers, and, you know, the local council helping us with a spot to operate that pod, for volunteers to be going there for years and years on a regular day of the week to go up and deliver our service, for donors to fund our service, I think is a real reminder that this wouldn't be possible without them. And I think that sort of complements the challenge, is that we talk about, you know, challenge being a part of our DNA at Orange Sky. We're working with people in potentially the toughest time of their life. We're, you know, working on trying to get washing machines to work in the back of a van. We're trying to get people to give us their money to run the service. We're trying to get people to give us their time. And all those things are maybe a bit challenging. But if we actually acknowledge that that's just a part of what we do, I think that gives us permission to keep on trying and getting out there again.
Love it. Yesterday was Australia Day, and we saw the Australia Day Awards. Now, that's something you experienced yourself just 2 years after starting Orange Sky, but you've also been given the Order of Australia Medal in 2020. What does that represent to you in relation to what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, the Young Australian of the Year Award was something that was a complete shock to Lucas and I. Back then, we had like 3 vans and 270 volunteers. And I can remember, you know, one of our strategies was to get to 10 vans. And, you know, that was going to cost us like $1 million. And Lucas and I were like, we'll never get 10 vans and we'll never be able to raise $1 million to deliver our service. And I think that year we clicked over our 11th service and about 1,000th volunteer, or, you know, 750 volunteers or something like that. And so the awards really shone a light on Orange Sky. But I think what it did mostly is it activated so many extraordinary people that said, hey, I want to volunteer. Hey, I want to pay for a van. Hey, can we bring a service here? And I think I spoke about Jordan being our first ever wash, and we sort of lost contact with Jordan up until about a year ago. And we didn't know if Jordan was okay, or, you know, if he'd remember us, or if he was okay with us telling this story time and time again, or if the story was even accurate. We caught up with Jordan in his own living room, and he shared, you know, how proud he was on the night that Lucas and I won the Young Australian of the Year, watching that award ceremony and cheering us on and having a tear in his eye, because he is absolutely a part of Orange Sky. And I think that's sort of the feeling we feel when, you know, you get an award or someone acknowledges Orange Sky. as these two blokes, being Nick and Lucas, is that Orange Sky is much more than Nick and Lucas. It's the thousands of people each week that participate in our mission. And, you know, I'm incredibly proud of Orange Sky. And like I said, I'm proud to say that I was a part of the people that created the seed and planted it and watered it. But now, you know, Orange Sky is this magnificent tree that is far greater than Lucas and I and all the people behind it.
Like all great trees, it needs watering. How have you been able to make this sustainable now, moving, you know, beyond a decade of service?
We've definitely had tough times at funding our service. We've had to make some really tough choices about where we prioritize our money or how do we deliver our service. But, you know, Orange Sky is a significant organization now. And the only reason why it exists is because of donors out there supporting us. And like I said, we've got donors that give us a dollar a week from their pension. We have our first fan in Mackay was named Don after Don Leckenby, an icon in the Mackay community, wanting to build his own community centre and getting caught up in back and forwards and then sort of one day saying, you know, let's fund an Orange Sky van in the region. And, you know, it's people like Don or it's people like corporates or it's people like that donor that gives us a dollar a week from her pension that enable Orange Sky to keep on helping people and showing up each and every week.
You were also awarded $1 million, I understand, though, from an initiative of yours. What is Volibee and how on earth did you manage to secure such significant funds from Google?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've tried a lot of things at Orange Sky, whether that be building our vans from scratch, whether it be screen printing our t-shirts with people that run our who have used our service to be a key part of our uniform. And one of the key things in the early days was that the first ever staff member we had at Orange Sky was actually a software developer who helped us build some really basic software that turned into some really complicated software to run our service. And in those early days, and for the majority of Orange Sky's existence, we couldn't have operated without that key infrastructure. And we had a lot of organizations reach out to us and be like, how do you manage all of your volunteers and your donors? And we said, oh, well, we've got this custom tool that we've built, something that we'd always been asked, you know, could we share it? So we had this vision of building a software technology startup that could deliver the software for other not-for-profits and then also fundraise. We grew an extraordinary team of people that built out Volibee, and we had some amazing partners that used the product. But we actually decided about a year ago to exit that and really focus in on what we do well, which is deliver those laundry, hygiene and human connection services. And so Volibee still exists. It's out there and a lot of organizations use it to run their volunteering, but it's sort of now graduated from the Orange Sky community.
Well, I hope you're still receiving some of the benefits of that great technology, though. It sounds like it's very integral, you know, to people who are running charities or not-for-profits and social enterprises. How can we support future generations to be entrepreneurial, to have this compassion?
If I think about what my parents have done for me in my life, it's support people to give things a go. And, you know, I never would have become a cameraman if it wasn't for my parents, you know, helping me get work experience up at the local TV station, or I never would have started Orange Sky if it wasn't for people saying, yeah, you should give that a go. Or I would never know how to build the first Orange Sky van if it wasn't for my mum buying me a drill and saying, you know, go nuts, drill as many holes as you want. So I think, you know, this idea of like giving things a go is so important. But I also think knowing that when we give things a go, we learn a lot. And maybe that's we learn what to do or most of the time not to do. And I think not getting caught up in all of the things that could go wrong and do go wrong, it's actually getting caught up with what are the lessons from that.
Great advice. Nick, how can people support you if they have an Orange Sky in their local community or they don't?
Yeah, we always encourage people to jump onto our website, orangesky.org.au. You can find out where our service is operating. If you need to access our service, you can register to volunteer if you want to help deliver our service, or you can read more about what Orange Sky does and support Orange Sky all through our website.
Nicholas, it's been fabulous chatting today. Thank you so much for giving me your time.
Pleasure. Thanks for sharing our story.
Nicholas Marchese, co-founder of Orange Sky Australia, and of course, a wonderful human being. I'm hoping to speak with him again about other topics this year. What strikes me the most about Nicholas's story is that he didn't just build a service, he built a culture. Orange Sky has reframed homelessness, not as them and us, but as friends in relationship. And perhaps that's a lesson for us all. Our children are watching how we speak about vulnerability. They're watching how we respond to hardship. They're learning whether dignity is conditional or universal. Nicholas reminds us that empathy is structured, it's strategic, and it's scalable. If this conversation resonated with you, share it, because the world changes when empathy moves from intention to action. Thanks so much for your company again today. I look forward to bringing you a story about urban farming next week with Clint McRae. He's come from the Otways with a generational background in farming, as well as a lived experience travelling the globe. Now he wants to bring greenery to urban spaces that provide food, bringing nutrition to a community near you. We'll have all of that next week. Until then, be the change you want to see.